At least once a week, I have a post on social media about the long-term benefits of hormone therapy, things like the impact on bone health, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cognitive function. And inevitably, I get comments from women who say, I'm over 60 and never started hormone therapy. I'm still having hot flashes. I'm worried about my bones. Is it too late? Or more typically, thanks a lot. I'm 66 and never took estrogen, so I guess I'm screwed. In this episode, I bring in another expert, Dr. Jim Simon, to tackle that specific issue. Is it okay to start hormone therapy if you're more than 10 years into menopause or over the age of 60? And then stick around, because at the end, I'm also going to tell you about a new study that was just released about the benefits of taking hormone therapy after the age of 65. You're going to want to hear this. It's really big news, really good news. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, a gynecologist, best-selling author, and a nationally recognized menopause expert. When it comes to menopause, midlife, and what comes after, I'm betting you've not gotten a lot of information from your own doctor. If women are given good information, they'll make good choices, and I'm here to give you the inside information. In July of 2002, when the results of the Women's Health Initiative, WHI, were released, millions of women turned on the news to hear that the estrogen they took every morning could cause breast cancer, heart disease, blood clots, and stroke. The message was loud and clear. Hormone therapy was dangerous, and no woman should take it. It went the 2002 version of viral, and there was a collective national flush as nervous, angry women tossed their hormones down the toilet. When there was a reanalysis of the data, which took into account the variables that skewed the data, it never made it to mainstream media, never made it to most doctors, and certainly never made it to most women. Today, less than 10% of women take hormone therapy, even though there are proven benefits. There were a lot of problems with the design of the study, but the main one was that over 70% of the women enrolled were over the age of 60. The results were very different and much more reassuring when only women who were between the ages of 50 to 60 were considered. Women in the 50 to 60-year-old WHI group who took estrogen alone had a 37% decrease in heart disease, an 11% decrease in stroke, a 12% decrease in new-onset diabetes, a 30% decrease in fracture, and a 30% decrease in overall mortality. And so the concept of the critical window was born. If someone is going to take hormone therapy, clearly the safest time to start was before the age of 60. And while most physicians today don't prescribe hormone therapy at all, the ones that do generally won't write a new start prescription for women who are over 60 based on that data. But most menopause experts are well aware that while the data demonstrates that the optimal time to start hormone therapy is early in the menopause transition, it wasn't as if the women who started estrogen over the age of 60 were dropping like flies. I mean, quite the contrary. The overwhelming majority of women over the age of 60 who took hormone therapy in the WHI did just fine. Let me give you some numbers so you know what I'm talking about. In the WHI, for every 10,000 women per year who used estrogen and progestin, compared to the women who were not taking any hormones or were taking estrogen alone, there were 7 additional heart attacks per 10,000 women compared to the placebo group, 8 additional strokes per 10,000 women compared to the placebo group, 8 additional breast cancers per 10,000 women compared to the placebo group, and 8 additional pulmonary embolisms per 10,000 women compared to the placebo group. And there were zero additional deaths in the hormone therapy group compared to the placebo group. It's important to keep in mind that in the WHI study, the women were taking an oral estrogen and Provera, medroxyprogesterone acetate. With the use of a transdermal estrogen, those stroke, heart attack, and pulmonary embolism numbers would have been dramatically lower. And with the use of a micronized progesterone instead of Provera, the breast cancer data would have been lower. In addition, subsequent analysis took into consideration women that were on statins, another variable that significantly lowered the risk. So this mantra of never start hormone therapy over the age of 60 is overstated and not supported by the data, and not relevant when you look at the new formulations of estrogen, such as the transdermal patches, sprays, and gels. But even with the oral estrogen, Of the 27,000 women who took part in the WHI, 97.5% of the women taking an oral estrogen and progestin therapy had no problems. Only 2.5% of women had a complication. Yet 100% of women are typically told that they cannot start estrogen over the age of 60. I mean, this is crazy. And again, it's even more crazy when you take into consideration that the data would have been better and different if the participants in the study were using a transdermal estrogen. Consider this. We know that women who are 35 and smoke shouldn't take birth control pills since they have a significant risk of developing a blood clot. But we don't tell all women over the age of 35 they shouldn't take birth control pills, just the smokers. Yet all women over the age of 60 are told not to start hormone therapy. Instead of just making a blanket statement that no women over the age of 60 should start hormone therapy, it would make a lot more sense to figure out who the women are that are candidates and who's not a candidate. So how do you know which group you're in? How do you know if it's safe to start hormone therapy over the age of 60 versus being a member of the group that's better off sticking to non-hormonal options? Well, I can pretty much guarantee you that this isn't something most OBGYNs are going to tackle. It's easier to say, sorry, no, not an option. And in their defense, it's complicated. The data is complex, and not everyone is willing to deviate from what they consider to be the standard of care. To figure out how to determine who falls into the group that it's reasonable and safe to start hormone therapy over the age of 60, I went to the person who understands the data better than anyone, and who is one of a handful of menopause experts who routinely see women from all over the country for consultations when it comes to these kinds of complex menopause decisions. And that person would be Dr. James Simon. Dr. James Simon is a clinical professor of OBGYN at George Washington University. He was the principal investigator on over 300 research trials and has published over 400 scientific papers, including a recent groundbreaking article, A Modern Approach to Hormone Therapy. I spent over an hour talking with Dr. Simon about his approach, and we covered a lot of information. And so I decided to divide our conversation into two episodes. In part two, we're going to talk about the nuances between the different types of hormone therapy. But for today's episode, I asked him to explain his approach to the woman over the age of 60 who wants to take hormones. And with that, here's my conversation with Dr. Simon. So Dr. Simon, the original purpose of the WHI study was to determine if hormone therapy would protect against cardiovascular disease. And the WHI taught us that, in general, women under the age of 60 do better than women over the age of 60 when it comes to cardiovascular risks and benefits. What have we learned as far as the impact of hormone therapy on blood vessels?
The big learning from those results in 2002 and 2004 was that blood vessels across the continuum from age 50 to age 79 are not the same. It really makes a difference when you take that vascular system, that cardiovascular and cerebrovascular system, blood vessels of the heart, blood vessels in the brain, they're not the same when you're in your 50s as when you're in your 70s. And when you're in your 60s, they're kind of a mixed bag of the way they are in your 50s for some women, and the way they are in your 70s for other women. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you provide hormones, either estrogen or estrogen and a progestogen, to the blood vessels, they react very differently if they're young and healthy than they do when you're in your 70s and they already have established disease. This was a very difficult concept for all of us, even physicians and scientists, because we think if you do X, you get Y, regardless of whether you're 50, 60, or 70. And what we found out was if you do X when you're young, you get benefit. And when you do X when you're older, you get risk. And that's a little bit weird. And we still don't really know where the inflection point is exactly, but we think it's somewhere in the mid-60s.
So would you agree that the best time to start hormone therapy is when your blood vessels are most likely to be in good shape?
Yeah, so this brought about exactly what you're saying, what we call the timing hypothesis or the gap hypothesis. If there's a gap between the last time you had your hormones and when they're given to you, that could be more of a risk. And we'd like to say that somewhere that in the first 10 years, or at least for sure the first 6 years following that last menstrual period, most of the data says that hormones are both safe and beneficial for the cardiovascular effects. And if it's more than 10 years since a woman's last period or since her ovaries were removed, it's more of a risk.
But okay, more of a risk doesn't mean it's out of the question, right? We're always weighing risk benefit for everything we do in medicine. And I think you'd agree that for some women, aside from the obvious benefit of getting rid of hot flashes and insomnia, there'd still be long-term benefits when it comes to things like bone health and maybe in some women, cardiovascular health. I mean, there's a difference between optimal time versus the only time.
Totally and completely agree. And I see those women who want to go on hormones for whatever reason, and they're 60 or 65 or even 70.
All right. So I'm going to pin you down. How do you decide who gets the prescription and who doesn't?
Here's how I approach this. It is not a perfect way to approach it. I don't know what a perfect way is. But in the same vein that we talk about women aging differently, one from the other, I think their vascular systems age differently. I also, what I do is try to attempt to determine if Mrs. Smith, who's 65, has a vascular system more like a woman who's 50 or more like a woman who's 80, and avoid giving hormones to her if she's got a vascular system more like that 80-year-old. But also, with good advice, give it to her if she's got a vascular system more like a 50-year-old, then I feel very safe and, knock wood, haven't been burned. So how do I figure out what her vascular status is? This is what I do. It's not perfect, but I think it gives us a sense of reassurance or at least a good baseline. So what I do is, first, get a lipid profile. Find out if her cardiovascular lipid-related risk is normal or low. She needs to have a normal blood pressure, or we need to give her medication to get her a normal blood pressure. Those are the two major easily assessed risks for cardiovascular disease. And then I look directly at the blood vessels by getting a coronary artery calcium score, which is a measure of the vascular disease already in the heart. And then I get a carotid artery intima media thickness score, which is a sonogram of the neck, gives us some idea of what the vascular status of the blood vessels of the neck are. And then come to Jesus moment with the patient about what she looks like generally in terms of benefits and risks from the cardiovascular point of view. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing.
It's pretty good, except for one part that I want to push you on a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm totally in line with you as far as looking at the blood vessels to see what they look like. Is there calcium? Is there atherosclerosis? But why are you basing this on her lipid profile when you and I both know that if we give her hormone therapy, it's going to decrease her cholesterol, and that if we give her a transdermal hormone, it is going to decrease her triglycerides? So that shouldn't be what pushes you away from giving hormone therapy, unless I'm not understanding you. That should be if you say, okay, if Mrs. Fofufnik walks in the door and she's got sky-high cholesterol, but so far her blood vessels look pretty good, it seems to me that that's the one that you want to give a transdermal estrogen to, because that's going to help in terms of protecting her blood vessels. Am I getting that wrong?
It's one of the factors, in addition to how her blood vessels look, that I want to take into account. For example, the standard treatment for elevated cholesterol, statin, Prestor, Lipitor, Zocor, whatever.
Whatever core.
They Mevacor even. They lower LDL cholesterol, but they also reduce inflammation. And it is both the anti-inflammatory effect and the cholesterol lowering effect and many others that reduce risk.
Well, that makes sense because in the WHI, women who were on statins did better, which was, another variable that wasn't taken into consideration in the original analysis.
If I'm going to give a, in this case, a 65-year-old hormones, I want to reduce as many risks as I can, including the risks that I'm reducing by giving her hormones. So I want a big picture, as good a picture as I can get clinically without doing a research project on every woman who hasn't had hormones for 10 or more years, by getting her blood pressure under control, getting her lipids under control, assessing her vessels directly, heart and carotid vessels. I've been amazed how poorly my looking at her reflects what I actually found. I'll give you a couple of examples. I had a patient just today who was in her 70s, was on hormone therapy from about age 50 to 55, and then went off. She hasn't been on hormone therapy since. She still has some residual hot flashes and some sleep disturbance. And now she has bone loss and not terrible, but some osteoporosis. And she wanted to know, could she go back on her hormones? And I said, I didn't know. Let's do these tests. Let's try and assess your risk, mostly cardiovascular risk. And she came up with a coronary artery calcium score of 0. This is extraordinarily reassuring for me and for her. And it can work the other way too, Lauren. I had a patient who was in her late 50s who had was an athlete, was really in terrific physical condition, had a low blood pressure, low body mass index. I mean, she was in great physical shape, but she had elevated cholesterol, which she never had addressed, in spite of the fact that her internist suggested that she go on some kind of medication. And I said, well, you want to go on medication? Let's do some of these tests, send you back to the internist, see if you still want to not use a lipid lowering agent. And I got her coronary artery calcium score, and it was about 900. And so there's an example of someone who looks great, is incredible physical fitness, doesn't have chest pain, doesn't have any abnormalities, but she's got a lot of plaque burden. And it might not be the best thing for her to go on hormones, at least until we get a better picture of what the benefits are for her.
Yeah, again, individualized care. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the issue of potentially increasing the risk of dementia when starting hormone therapy over the age of 60, because one of the subgroups of the Women's Health Initiative was the Women's Health Initiative Memory Study, known as WHIMS. And in WHIMS, women who took both estrogen and medroxyprogesterone acetate, Provera, they had a twofold increase in the risk of dementia, but only in women who were older than 65 when they started hormone therapy. And in women 50 to 55, they didn't have that increased risk. So it was the same old story as the cardiac data. If you start hormone therapy later, not only does it not lower the risk, it actually increases the risk. And it appears that we're dealing with the same critical window, right?
Completely agree.
When you were talking about your patient who was 70 and wanted to restart her hormone therapy, and you did all that testing and she had reassuring scores as far as her cardiovascular risk, were those test results just as reassuring as far as predicting her risk of impacting cognitive function down the road?
Maybe.
So we don't have to worry about causing dementia by giving her hormone therapy starting at 70?
Probably.
Probably
At
what?
least. Probably reassuring, at least for vascular dementia, vascular causes of dementia. Recognize that Alzheimer's is the number one cause of dementia, and it's not vascular.
Yeah, that's an important point. I mean, Alzheimer's is not a form of vascular dementia. Alzheimer's is a very different specific disease that's caused by accumulation of abnormal proteins, the beta amyloid and tau, right? So in a brain affected by Alzheimer's, tau clumps into tangles, and it's that myeloid plaque along with the tangles of tau that causes the damage and the destruction of neurons. not vascular damage.
There is clearly vascular type of dementia. And if her blood vessels are clean in her heart, I'm going to make the leap that they're likely to be pretty clean in her brain. And she's unlikely to develop dementia from vascular disease.
Yeah. This is kind of confusing, and it sounds like it's really important to differentiate between a risk of Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. There was that study in 2023 that women who take hormone therapy early have less tau tangles in brain amyloid than women who start hormone therapy later. So for women that are at high risk of Alzheimer's, already showing signs of cognitive changes, that's a group that really needs to start their hormone therapy before the age of 60. But if the issue's not Alzheimer's and if there's no evidence of vascular damage, it's probably fine to start hormone therapy later. But honestly, not a lot of data to back it up. And this is yet again making the case that these are complex patients. And for women who are listening, who are thinking, okay, there's no way that my gynecologist is going to start me on hormone therapy because I'm 65. It's good for those people to know that, well, that's why you get another opinion from someone who does understand complex menopause and complex patients, because you have to understand the why and the data in order to determine who is truly a candidate and who's not. So to tie this all together, when it comes to cardiovascular benefit, the gap hypothesis is the understanding that blood vessels react differently to hormone therapy when someone is young as opposed to when someone is older, which is where the starting estrogen before 60 recommendation comes from. Dr. Simon is in agreement that the optimal time to start hormone therapy is prior to age 60. But for most women starting after age 60, it's reasonable. And what should really determine should be based not solely on age, but rather a careful evaluation of the cardiovascular system. So chronological age and physical fitness does not necessarily reflect the condition of blood vessels. So if blood pressure is under control, if lipid profile is normal, if there's a low coronary artery calcium score and a normal carotid artery intima thickness score, starting hormone therapy is not unreasonable. Like everything else in medicine, the decision needs to be individualized and based on risk-benefit ratio. Not to mention, there's this concept of shared decision-making. In a perfect scenario, it would be nice if someone presented the data, analyzed your personal risk, and then included you in the decision instead of just making the decision for you. And if hormone therapy is not an option, instead of just sending you on your way, there needs to be a discussion of non-hormonal options to reduce the hot flashes and bone loss and all of that. The last thing I want to mention before I bring this to a close is that in terms of starting hormone therapy after age 60, Dr. Simon and I were only referring to systemic hormone therapy. Local vaginal therapy, such as local estrogen rings, creams, tablets, suppositories, vaginal DHEA, Esfina, anything that's prescribed to treat vaginal dryness, painful sex, and urinary symptoms like the urgency, burning, and recurrent urinary tract infections, it's an entirely different category. There is no cutoff age for starting those products. It is just as safe to start a local vaginal estrogen in someone who's 90 as in someone who's 45. And if anyone tells you otherwise, they are wrong, wrong, wrong. Starting hormone therapy for the first time after age 60 or after a long hiatus is not the same issue as continuing hormone therapy after age 60 if you're already on it. Women are usually told that they need to stop their hormone therapy after 5 years or at age 60 or some other arbitrary cutoff. But those recommendations were never based on science. And menopause experts have been advising women for years that not only is it fine to stay on hormone therapy, but it's beneficial. Nevertheless, every year, without any data to back it up, women are told they need to stop. So I have big news and data to support that you don't need to stop. A new study was just released that analyzed the medical records of more than 10 million women and confirms what I've been saying for years. It is not only safe to continue hormone therapy over the age of 65, but that the long-term use of hormone therapy will prolong life. This study compared women who were still taking their estrogen after age 65 to women who were not taking hormones and found that the long-term hormone group had significant risk reductions in mortality, breast cancer, lung cancer, colorectal cancer, congestive heart failure, venous thromboembolism, atrial fibrillation, acute myocardial infarction, and dementia. In addition, progestin usage resulted in significant risk reductions in uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, ischemic heart disease, congestive heart failure, and venous thromboembolism. There were nuances, the types of estrogen, doses, and if the estrogen was oral or transdermal, impacted the outcomes. In general, risk reductions appeared to be the greatest with low rather than medium or high doses, and transdermal rather than oral, and with estradiol rather than conjugated estrogen. But there you have it. This is really good data. So if you're over 60 and want to start hormone therapy with certain caveats, it's not unreasonable. And if you're on hormone therapy, despite what you've been told, there's no reason to stop and lots of reasons to continue. So, coming attractions. Next week is part two of my conversation with Dr. Simon, and we're going to be talking about his groundbreaking article, A Contemporary View of Hormone Therapy. Specifically, we're going to be discussing the nuances between the different types of estrogens and progestogens in terms of both breast cancer risks and cardiovascular risks. All estrogens are not equal, and I think you'll be surprised to learn specifically which estrogen will protect your breasts the most and which progestogens have the most negative impact on your heart. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and thank you for joining me. You will find lots more information in my Inside Information books available on Amazon.com. And follow Francie as she navigates her way through vaginal dryness, hot flashes, and pretty much every menopausal symptom you can think of.
Sometimes I feel blue.